All right, it's Brock. I am out here on Forest Service Road 60 in some national forest, the name of which I forget. I think I'm in the Umpqua. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the Umpqua. It's day two of the adventure, and it's probably high time I started recording some of the events so that if anybody else wants to know what's happening, they can hear them. So, I took the train from Portland to Chomolt. It was fun to take a long train trip again. The conductor, as we were getting off in Chomolt, asked us about our adventure and said, are you bringing any sort of weapon? Do you have bear spray? Do you have a pistol? And we said we had neither. I thought that my best weapon was between my two ears. That is, taking precautions and making sure that everything goes well before you actually meet the animal, so that they're not really interested in meeting you. But, that was the first person we met who was interested or concerned about our safety as it regarded wildlife. So we got off the train, and we snuck quickly into the woods from there. Chomolt is a tiny town. It's bounded on all sides by Forest Service land, so we snuck into the woods, and we found a flat spot to put our tent up. Tried to hang our food. We ended up hanging our food, but the kinds of trees that you find out here are not the kinds of trees that are good for hanging food in, because the branches are so short. So we got it off the ground anyways. I think small critters is what we were really worried about. Don't know a lot about bears in this area, but yeah, so we slept overnight. Got up the next day with plans to hitchhike out. Thought we'd get a breakfast first, so we went to the KJ's Cafe, and we ended up having breakfast there. We got some cardboard, brought a big Marks a Lot Sharpie. I guess that's two brands. We got a big permanent marker, and we made a sign that said, what was it, like uphill or Highway 138 or something. We ended up getting picked up real quick by a guy who was inside the cafe with us. I think his name was Randy. He never told us that, but on the dashboard of his truck, on the stereo, it said Randy's iPhone, which was paired, I think, to the stereo. So I'm assuming his name was Randy, but nice guy. He was also concerned about whether or not we would have guns, and we said, no, we don't have any. He thought that guns were better defense against predators. Told us that, you should... You can believe that a grizzly might bluff charge you, that a black bear will in fact charge you and kill you. All the information you need to know. But a quick ride up out of town, and he actually ended up taking us all the way to the trailhead that we wanted. So, 4 miles up, and we ended up going up to the snow line, which ended up being the snow line near Mount Thielson. I'm pretty sure it's Thielson or Thielson, one of the two. And it turned out that at a certain point, the crest trail goes up to where the snow has not yet melted as of the end of June here in Oregon. So we tried to find our way through for a little bit, but I was worried about getting lost. We talked about our options and decided that it would be best not to get lost in the snow, just because you never know how that might go. So with a little bit of reluctance, we turned around. It was pretty disappointing, I think, for both of us, especially for Adele, because she had done most of the prep for this trip. But we sat down when we had returned to the trailhead and tried to figure out what our other plans would be. Decided to hitch back down to Chomolt. Thought maybe we could work our way down to the highway and then up to Lake Odell, where we could go to that first stop where we mailed supplies to. And we tried hitching for half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Had a sign that we made, said, you know, Chomolt and Crescent, which was the direction we wanted to go. But we ended up not getting a ride. This guy showed up, and he had some scabs on his face, and he said he'd fallen on a rock. He was a PCT hiker, and he said they called him the Dirty Hippie. So that was... It was interesting to hear his stories. He was a mountaineer, so he wasn't fazed by snow or anything, but after getting hit in the face by a rock, he just decided it wasn't a good time to be hiking anymore, so he was going to hitch down and recuperate in society for a while. So By the way, Dirty Hippie, he didn't actually have long hair or anything like that. I think maybe just because he doesn't wash, or I'm not sure. So we give him our sign, because we decided, as we were trying to hitch down the hill to where we had started, we decided, you know, we could go to Diamond Lake, and we could stay there, and then we could work our way up on Forest Service roads, which is where you hear my feet hitting the ground right now. So we did that, but yeah, it was nice to have, it was nice to have some direction, I think. And so we gave our sign to the Dirty Hippie, and minutes after we handed him the cardboard and started walking down the road, we hear this woohoo from behind us, and it turns out that somebody had pulled over to give him a ride. I think it's a lot harder to hitchhike with two people than with one. The only reason I think we had such luck getting out of town right when we started is that we had been in the restaurant, and Randy, who picked us up, had also been there. So I think that does a lot. So let's see here. We also ran into a hiker on our way down the mountain after we were retreating in defeat. It was Dr. Bill, he was called. He was in town for some sort of marathon or something, and he was going to do some PCT hike to kind of wrap up his weekend. But he was not aware of the snow either, and we haven't seen him, so we're not sure where he ended up or what his plan has been. But yeah, I guess we'll see. So anyways, that kind of brings us up to today. Bumped into a bicycle tourist named Brad yesterday, who grew up in the same town I did, actually, or pretty close to. And he's been doing what we did last summer, the Sierra Cascades Trail, or route from Adventure Cycling, from California down by the border all the way up to here. So he's been on the road for coming up on almost 6 weeks, I think. But we ended up meeting up with him over at the pizza place on Diamond Lake, and had a couple of beers and just talked about his tour and that sort of thing. I was commenting to Adele that it's really interesting to observe how I interact with other bicycle tourists when I'm not on a bicycle tour, as opposed to when I am, because generally when I'm on a tour, I don't really want to talk shop with a bunch of other cyclists. I'm out to get away from it all. But as someone who's been hiking and I guess spending a lot of time alone, seems like a really good idea to talk to people and kind of get what their stories are. Maybe I'm more in podcaster mode as a hiker than I am as a bicyclist. So, anyways, fascinating. But that brings us to today. We tried unsuccessfully to hitch away from Diamond Lake, ended up walking, we figured, maybe 9 miles to the point where we had lunch, and now we are walking down National Forest Service Road 60 in the Umpqua National Forest. So, with any luck, we will probably see both the Crest Trail and the Oregon Skyline Trail, which is lower than the Crest Trail, which should almost certainly be free of snow. And we're going to make our way over there. So the big adventure continues. But I guess I will tape another update the next time I'm walking by myself down a long gravel road. All right, cheers. All right, it's Saturday, July 2nd. This is trail update number 2. Just finished putting the rain fly on the tent. And we are currently, let's see, where are we? We're at Elk Lake, at the resort at Elk Lake. And this is a good place to be. We're here for a rest day, which we did not initially intend, but decided that we need because, you know, feet take a beating. So we need to give those feet a rest, as well as the legs and everything else. And after a couple adult beverages, it feels like the right decision. So starting from the last update, we saw a bear. We were hiking, and we found this awesome place in the North Umpqua River, and it was beautiful. But as we'd already got our tent set up and everything, and we were thinking to ourselves, oh, what a nice place. We're right here by the river. And then Adele looks up and sees a bear, ostensibly, I suppose, getting a drink or something, maybe looking for fish or something. But we did not feel like, having seen a bear there, that we should remain there. So we moved on. Not too far, just, probably a mile or less. But we found a different campsite where we knew that bears weren't going to show up. At least we had a reasonable suspicion. We weren't right by the river, and so that was probably a good thing. So we did that. Next day, hiked up to the top of Windigo Pass, where we finally found our connection with the Oregon Skyline Trail. So after trying and failing to actually get onto a trail, we finally did a couple days into the trip. So Oregon Skyline was fantastic. We pooped in the woods several times, which is a skill that everyone should learn. We hiked through kind of like arid terrain with trees and desert and sand and all that stuff. Not a whole lot of water, but a couple of lakes here and there. So made our way to Crescent Lake, and Crescent Lake is a fantastic spot. Crescent Lake had all of the wind that you need to keep mosquitoes at bay. So while in the woods there were mosquitoes, we were camped on the shore of a lake, which was fantastic, and that kept us away from the little nippers. So Crescent Lake was good. After that, we pushed on, and we ended up camping at Shelter Cove. Shelter Cove is a fantastic spot. Shelter Cove had all the amenities of a modern resort. We met some other folks there, some folks that were going either our direction or the other. Hey, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm just chronicling what we did.
Oh, I'm glad you're doing that. You said you wanted to do that.
I did.
And you are.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I'll keep doing it, I guess.
I just was in the bathrooms, and there was like something that looked like the hand sanitizer dispenser, so I put out my hands, but it was straight up soap with no water to wash it off. So then I had to go back to the water pump.
But you're super clean.
Yeah. It was a mean trip.
We got beers at Shelter Cove, and that was nice. First resort we'd come to, first place of civilization, really. After that, it was into the woods, and the woods all kind of blend together. We were on the Oregon Skyline Trail. I think until we got to Shelter Cove, then we got back to the Pacific Crest Trail, and the past 3 or 4 days have kind of been, I guess, kind of a wash of woods camping. What I remember is that there's a lot of mosquitoes in the woods. There's not as much time as you would like when the bugs aren't active to go out and do your chores. So a lot of the trick has been finding a place where there's a lot of wind or breeze. And the wind or breeze will blow those bugs away, so they can't land on you and bite you. Aside from that, boy, it's been 3 or 4 days of bug management, I guess. So along with that, some beautiful views, some uphill, some downhill. There are three things that I used to make fun of that I will no longer make fun of because I find them, in their absence, to be probably eminently useful. The big wide-brimmed floppy hat, which I thought looked dumb until I realized that that allows the mosquito net to deflect all the mosquitoes from you at an even rate. I've been making do with my trucker hat and a bandana up the back. I look a bit like Lawrence of Suburbia, so I've taken to calling myself that. The hat and the bandana with the mosquito net do keep the bugs away. But the floppy hat looks dumb, and yet I would totally use one. I would totally use one. Long pants. I'm wearing shorts right now. Shorts are cool, but only with bug repellent are they useful. And what's the other? Well, long sleeve shirt. Hiking poles I do have. Hiking poles are things that I think are incredibly useful. I'm glad I have them. They turn me from a two-legged person to a four-legged climbing machine when I'm attacking hills, so that's nice. I think that's pretty much all I can say, other than there's some beautiful mountain lakes, a lot more lakes than you would expect in Oregon. It's a good mix of either kind of a mossy, damp forest or kind of a dry, arid, deserty forest. Seen a couple of peaks in the distance, but that pretty much brings us up to date. I am a week into this, and it doesn't feel like a week, because when you're in the woods, the only thing you have to mark the passage of time is camping, and we've done a lot of that, and it all kind of feels the same, even though different places, it's uphill, downhill, you know. So anyways, something we've been doing, that brings us to Elk Lake. We have cell service here finally after a week. We have the amenities of town. We got a shower. I was incredibly dirty. And we bought beer. We listened to a band play live because it's a Saturday, and that's what they do on Saturdays here. So I'm a big fan. Anyways, I'm going to duck into the restroom here and wrap this up. But that is Trail Report 2 after a week on the road. And my, is this a Dark Vault toilet? All right, cheers. Hey there, it's Brock, and I am currently under one of the west-facing slopes of the South Sister, the mountain down here in central Oregon. I'm right next to a beautiful mountain stream, and we are camped out in the Three Sisters Wilderness. It's pretty fantastic. The sun is coming and going under thin clouds, and I feel tired from a day's walk. We did about 10 miles today, which is only about half of what we did the day before we got into the resort there at Elk Lake. But, yeah, I'm tired anyways. It's good to take a break every now and again. This beautiful mountain stream is going to provide cool, crisp, refreshing water as we make our food tonight and as we slake our thirst. Also, there's a mosquito on my palm. Now he's gone. I think I've talked a little bit about logistics and how things have washed together. Like one day kind of flows into another. But also, part of that, I think, was the clouds and clouds of mosquitoes that we dealt with in that basin where all the lakes were. South of Elk Lake and north of, when did we get there? It's kind of sort of deserty, kind of sort of western Oregon, rainy moss and greenery. Halfway between the two, a bunch of lakes, and yeah, basically between Highway 58 north of the road that goes from Eugene to Oak Ridge out to Crescent, and then south of, I guess, the Sisters Wilderness. Anyways, lots of bugs in there, and that, I think, more than anything else, made all the days flow from one to another. So now we are in very distinctly different terrain. It's wide open. I don't know if you can hear. I'm trying to shield the microphone from the wind because that doesn't make for great audio. But all around my shoulders and my back, the wind is whipping towards the South Sister right now. And that keeps the bugs off. So in place of really close, damp circumstances where we had bugs surrounding us, today, and I expect for the next couple days, we're going to have a lot of breeze. And, I mean, the bugs are still here, and as we camp near trees, they are able to get closer than they are out in the open. But this kind of sandy, loamy, whatever you would call this, the moraine that we have been walking on today in the shadow of a mountain, it's pretty fantastic. I am a fan. So, lest it seem from my last update that I don't care about details, well, of course I do. And I suppose if you've listened to me talk, you know that. But yeah, it's the experience here is a great wide open high country mountain experience, and that's different than what we've had in the past week or so. So as we begin the second week, I think we've hit a point where I enjoy the terrain a lot more, and I enjoy the lack of bugs a lot more. Didn't have to wear my head net once today, so that's all right. Also, people that you meet on the trail. It's interesting because we were passed by the front runners, the very first people from the Mexican border to jet northbound towards the Canadian border. I'm not sure if that'd be fun or not, to cover 30 to 40 miles in a day. I mean, ultralight, probably sleeping in a bivvy, eating nothing but jelly. That is something you can do. But then there's a lot of people that we've also met, either doing sections or people who are just traveling at a slower pace. And I think that's good. I think that's it's nice to stop and smell whatever flowers happen to be around, or the plants or whatever. This is an interesting experience because kind of like traveling the West Coast when we did the bicycle tour down the West Coast, I think we happened to kind of run with the same people and camp in the same places day after day. And eventually one of us would speed off and peel off and go faster or slow down and take a rest earlier. But we've been rolling with a couple of folks that we have seen from time to time. Most of the people have been faster than us, which is perfectly natural because I think they've done this more than once. I saw a guy who was my doppelganger today. If I had a beard right now, we'd probably look exactly alike. But he had the glasses, he had the cap, he had the bandana tucked under the cap to protect from sun and bugs, like I do. We looked a lot alike, but he was going a lot faster than we were. Didn't catch his name. Trail names are funny. We've met, the party monkey, Ziplox. We've met some folks who have not been given a trail name, and I'm not sure I believe in them, but hey, whatever makes you happy, right? There's one guy who's given himself the name El Guapo. Adele, of course, I think I may have mentioned before, has the name Wineglass. I still have just Brock. Brock is my first name, and Brock is the name I prefer. Although we've kicked around the various ideas about, I could be the pack mule because I carry a lot of weight. I could be even keel because I like to kind of attack things from the same point of view, and I like to hang out and not get flustered, not get upset. Lawrence of Suburbia is what I've thought about because that would be a thing that would kind of match the billowing cape coming out from my cap, but. Remains to be seen. I still like my name best. I think we're on track to get to Cascade Locks by my birthday. We'll see what happens. So the people that you meet, sometimes you're stuck in a place with someone, whether you want to be or not. Some people are very pleasant to meet. Some people are great to talk to. Some people, the more you talk to them, the more you realize, you know, this isn't a person I would choose to hang out with. And yet, the adventure on the trail has put you together. So, I don't know. Trying to be friendly has been, you know, that's kind of what my modus operandi is anyways. I try to be friendly to the people that I meet. And even if I'm not sure I would choose to hang out with them, I hope it's a good experience for both of us. I hope that I can learn whatever can be learned from them. And I hope that they would pick up from me whatever they can pick up from me. So, who's to say? We shall see. But you know, that's kind of life. Life throws a bunch of people at you that you may or may not like, and sometimes you're stuck with them. So, hey, there it is. I mean, all that said, it is nice to bump into people. I find that I'm not as antisocial as I am when I'm on a bike tour. I think when I've been out in the woods and I haven't seen anybody, it's nice. It's nice sometimes to just kind of chew the fat and be like, hey, what's up? What's coming? There are many more factors, like snow on the ground, blown down trees, all the stuff that people who are traveling can tell you about. And I think those are good things to trade knowledge on. So I'm glad that that is something that we can do. And because of that, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more chatty. Because usually on the road, if you do have a conversation, it's the whole, you know, how far are you going? How much does your bike weigh? And I get tired of answering those questions. But that question does not come up very often. I think we've had it once, and it was a very friendly way. It was just someone trying to make pleasant conversation, so I try not to shut people down. But yeah, that hasn't come up as much, so makes it easier to talk to strangers, I think. Backpacking is a little bit different than bicycle touring. So, a lot of time in my head, spending a lot of time just thinking about things, and I was telling Adele the other day, we have kind of a routine, I guess, we've developed over the past week or so, where we'll be walking all day, of course, and so first couple hours of the day, we're kind of walking together and talking about whatever comes to mind, and then the second half of the day, we're kind of alone and walking in silence, and our own thoughts probably pouring into our heads. I think I spend, I would say, I don't know, maybe 20% reflection, 20% like, here are thoughts about me and what I want, introspective thoughts, 30% thoughts about the future, what's coming up, which is funny because, I mean, you know, I'm looking at beautiful things, but I am thinking about what comes next and what happens when I go back to work and what my plans for the summer will be, and even though I'm in the middle of some summer plans. And then about half of my time, I think, is just spent tumbling through memories and thinking about the things that that came before. Interesting, like memories from childhood, things that I haven't thought about for years. And I guess just having the space and the time for things to bubble up. Some of them are inconsequential. Some of them I think about and I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. And that's a thing that makes me who I am today. So anyways, that's it's all interesting stuff. A lot of time in my head. A lot of time in my head. Which, depending on what you like, may or may not be your bag. But I think it's been good for me so far. Well, I'm going to go laze around in the sun a little bit before the sun goes away. Continue reading my Steinbeck novel. I am right now reading The Winter of Our Discontent. And I will rue the day, I'm sure, when I run out of Steinbeck to read on traveling time. I have read now, what is it, East of Eden and The Grapes of Wrath, Cannery Row and Sweet Thursday, which are both amazing. Just finished Tortilla Flat on this trip in the last week or so. And what else? There's a few, Travels with Charlie, I read one time. There's a few more Steinbeck novels on the list that I have not yet read, but I think I've read most of the big ones, and at a certain point, what I realized, I was telling this to Adele the other day, is that I think I like Steinbeck because he writes about the common man in a way that gives the common man nobility. And I like that because most of us are common men or women. Most of us are people who are just kind of, you know, we're just people doing the things that we do. Blue collar, or, you know, or bluish white collar, or whatever, somewhere in between. Most of us are not monumentally important people, but there is a certain dignity and there is a certain beauty to life lived in an ordinary way. And so, I'm enjoying that. This Winter of Our Discontent is very much about introspection and thinking about something and what happens when you change. So I'm interested to see where this story goes from here. But that's where I'll drop off for now. So trail report number 3 up here on the slopes of the South Sister. All right, this is trail report number 4 from North Matthew Lake. I think it's Matthew or Matthew, but it is a beautiful lake. It's amazing. It's about 8 in the morning. We are 15 miles and one day away from Big Lake Youth Camp, where we have a box mailed to us. I can't overstate how nice it is to be out in nature without a ton of mosquitoes. This week, as compared to last week, is completely brand new. The serenity of the morning. There were like 5 mosquitoes that we were easily able to swat away. But we had coffee this morning. That was good. Well, this is trail report number 5. I am walking on the Pacific Crest National Scenic Trail. And we are just south of Lake Olali. So we are on our way there. How we got there and what preceded that is kind of the thing that is interesting, I guess. So we stayed at Big Lake Youth Camp down just off of Highway 20 up by Santiam Pass. They are the most hospitable Seventh-day Adventists you'll ever meet. They know that Pacific Crest Trail hikers come through there all the time. So they bend over backwards to make sure that everything is okay for you, which is cool. They have showers. They have a hiker center, which would have bunks and I think laundry facilities, that sort of thing. It was under construction, and so they worked hard to make sure that they still offered all of those amenities. I myself am not an Adventist, but I support their work when it comes to the hikers, and so I wrote them a check as a donation. But that was a cool place to weather the night. Got a free meal with them as well. I think most Seventh-day Adventists are vegetarian, so it was a vegetarian dinner. I am not a vegetarian, but I like vegetarian things, so that was right up my alley. They were serving a dinner called Haystacks, in which I think they just set out like all the fixings for a taco salad, and you build as you see fit. So after we left there, We hiked up past Three Finger Jack, some incredible views up there. Absolutely amazing. And it was great to see. We ended up at elevation that night, I want to say like 6,500 or something like that, way up high. And it was right on the cusp of a rainstorm. So we ended up putting up our tent just in time. Got ourselves kind of bunkered up against the rain that night. But the next day, it was supposed to be rainy all day. And in fact, it was. Up there at that elevation, we were in the clouds. And so that meant that we were in the clouds, whether we liked it or not. There was no chance of rain. We were in the rain factory. So we walked through that for a while. It was a long, hard day of rain. And I think we had planned to do 16 miles, I believe. But along with, you know, being up that high and having some snow to deal with because it's still early in the season, trying to find our way, our shoes were soaked. We were wearing rain jackets and rain pants, and they were soaked. I had gloves on. They were soaked. We were very, very wet all day. And that doesn't really matter until you get down to the point when you're trying to find the campsite. We missed the place that the campsite we were aiming for was. And it turned out that it's actually very convenient to have this little app, the Half Mile app. And we started out without any sort of technological aids. We had printed maps. But in a lot of these places, it's very useful to have a printed map so that you... it's useful to have a printed map, but it's also useful to have some sort of GPS or location system. So Half Mile is the maps that we were using. Also made an app that you can get on your smartphone that helps locate your position relative to the trail. And when it's covered, or when you're trying to find some kind of campsite that doesn't maybe look like a campsite, it's useful. So we ended up camping at Seasonal Jeff Creek. There's a small campsite there, some down logs, which made it hard to see, and we passed it by the first time. We also had passed some folks earlier that day who had given us some dire news of the trail ahead. There was a potentially dangerous stream crossing, and it turned out it was covered in snow and pretty hard packed snow, so you could just bound across. But that night we didn't know that, so we didn't want to push through late at night because we weren't sure what we would find. So after looking around for a place that we could camp, it turned out all the places we were at were on incredibly steep hillsides. Really hard to find a flat place to put up a two-person tent. So what we ended up doing was going backtracking to the Jeff Creek campsite, and I think that meant we did about 20 miles when the day was all said and done. Now, the thing that I neglected to do was to save a set of dry clothes to change into after a long day in the rain. And so it got a little chilly. I'm not sure if I was hypothermic or not, but Adele was very nice to make sure that I warmed up. So whether I was or not, she got me to a place where I was comfortable at least, and that allowed us to kind of spend the night. Now, it was not a great night's sleep on any account because we were wondering how long the rain would last and if we would be soaked the next day. We were out in the middle of the wilderness, no options, trying to figure out exactly what it was we could do to get out of this situation. Turned out, after a fitful night of sleeping, I was lying in my sleeping bag with basically nothing. I had my slightly damp thermal layer on just to try and dry that out with body heat over the night, and it worked out pretty well. Of course, all my wet clothes wouldn't serve well for a pillow, and so I ended up not having a pillow, just kind of rolling around on the ground all night, kind of in a half-damp, half-sweaty state, which was good because I wasn't cold. In the morning, I had to get out and use the facilities, of course, which there are none, just the woods. But I ended up, didn't want to wake Adele. Turns out she was awake anyways. And the toe of her down sleeping bag got caught in the zipper of the tent. And so we sprung a hole in that. She ended up fixing it quickly with tent tape, which was ingenious. But I felt terrible. Anyways, all things said and done, It rained and dripped all night, and it always sounds worse inside the tent than outside, but it was pretty bad. So, lessons learned. Make sure we always preserve some kind of dry set of clothes to change into after the day, because smelly is better than too cold. So that was one thing we learned. The other was we could have checked the app a couple times to avoid doing all the extra mileage, but we ended up not because it was inconvenient. We thought we'd see something that was fairly obvious, which of course it wasn't. So all of these things come together to make a fitful day, afternoon, and evening. I am quite glad to have that behind us. We've been hiking today. We pretty much crossed through Jefferson Park and up over the highest elevation, pretty close to 7,000 feet. It was cold up there. A lot of snow ended up sliding down on my rear, which was exciting, I guess, wearing rain pants. But these enormous snow banks that we had to get through, that was where the app came in super handy. We could have done it with a compass and with the maps, but it's nice to have a shortcut when all you need is a quick confirmation that you're on track. So anyways, all that to say, we are now just a few miles away from Olali Lake, and they have a resort there. They have cabins. We shall see if there are any cabins with vacancies that we could sleep in tonight, because sleeping indoors sounds good. The sun is largely out. It's been a tad chilly all day, gusty winds depending on the elevation, but it is warmer than it was yesterday. I am walking around in shirt sleeves, and I am mostly dry. My shoes are wet, but that's a different story. We'll take care of that as we can. So anyways, that's trail report number 5 from just near Olali Lake on the Pacific Crest Trail. Hello, it's Brock, and it's trail report number 6. I am walking through the Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and we are beginning the 3rd week of walking through Oregon. When this is all said and done, it'll be about 300 miles, more or less. A little bit more, probably. But, yeah, fascinating. So, at Olali, we did not get a cabin. They had no vacancies available, which was fine, because we ended up hanging out with a bunch of trail people that we wanted to hang out with, as opposed to people that we were stuck with. So it was nice to kind of swap stories, hear about what people were up to. We bumped into the lady and her mother who had warned us about the potential danger of crossing that creek. And they had gotten transport around and were at Olali. So we saw them. There was a young man from Salem who just decided to quit his serving job and say, I'm going to walk across the state, because why not? And then one other young gentleman from Atlanta, who is, I guess he does a lot of adventuring on his summers between school. So, in college and out for the summer. So that's cool. We hung out, we got to air out our laundry a little bit. It was drier yesterday than we had seen in a while. A couple of days of rain. Last night, once we went to bed, there was a campfire. We were warming our shoes around it, all that. And there was beer, glorious beer, first beer in 6 days. It was nice to see that, I thought. So we went to bed, and then in the middle of the night, heard a couple of showers break out. So a little more rain, a little more water. Some of our stuff is still wet. The tent tent hasn't really dried out since the first rain day. So we're going on 4 or 5 days now of kind of not perpetual dampness, but dampening and then drying out and then dampening again. So such is life. This day, however, walking through the forest, this is the least amount of climbing or descending we've had to do in quite some time. The folks on the reservation here are nice enough to allow the trail to pass through their land, so we are doing that. It goes back and forth between a little bit too chilly when we stop moving to a little bit too warm when we are moving. There is now a thin layer of clouds overhead, gray, but last mist was some half hour ago or so, and doesn't seem to show signs of continuing. So, with any luck, we may not have any cloud bursts tonight. I'd be excited about that. But, yeah, pressing on. You may or may not be able to hear my rain pants swishing below me. I'm looking forward maybe to changing out of these once I know that we've got some sunlight to deal with. And it would be great to air out all of my clothes. Turns out Olali, in addition to not having a cabin open for us, did not have showers and did not have laundry. So we are still, I am still, about as stinky as I've been, continuing to build. But there was a lake. You're not allowed to swim in Lake Olali because it's their water source for the resort there. But you are allowed to swim in a pond that was just the other side of the trail from Lake Olali. So I went over there and scrubbed up and made myself more or less presentable. It felt good to maybe get a little bit of the grime off. And it was sunny enough to do so without being entirely frigid and cold. I did get super cold last night. I don't know exactly how cold. I know when we were up under one of the sisters, our packs had frost on them the next morning, so way down there. I remember it being a little chilly, but all of our stuff was dry. Last night, you could hear the rain and some of the gusts of wind. You could see the breath kind of crystallize in front of you as you were standing outside last night. So it was a bit chilly before the sun went down, and then all that mountain air just kept on cooling overnight. So we are here in the middle of July. Well, not the middle. We're at the beginning of July, so you can expect, I guess, a little bit of cold weather somewhere around this time of year, more so in the high country, which is where we are. Speaking of which, that's a song, right? It's got that line, something like that. We've been trying to figure out who does that song for a long time. And when you have a question like that out here in the wilderness, without the internet to answer it for you, you just think about it. So, I'm still thinking about it. Oh man, I don't know, did I mention that I had my brain radio kicked on? The most wonderful time of the year, the Bing Crosby version was going through my head all the way through the snowfields yesterday over the summit near Jefferson. So, yikes. It's funny what things come to your mind. So anyways, that leaves us kind of moving through the woods here. I see a little patch of blue sky. I see clouds swirling about. I take this as a good omen, but you never know. We shall see. It is July 11th, and we are just breaking camp out here by the Warm Springs River. What a lovely place. It is not raining this morning. It did not rain last night. I have a new appreciation for the simple things of life. Also, it's July 11th, which means it's Free Slurpee Day, and we are nowhere near a 7-Eleven. So, oh well. But I think this is better. Sunshine. And I'm wearing more or less dry clothes. Even though they may be sour-smelling, even though my shoes may still not be completely dry after two attempts at drying them by the fire, I still feel much better. This is a good place to be. Trail report number 8. I'm walking downhill towards Barlow Pass, which is where we started our bicycle adventure 2 years ago. So that ties some things together. It's nice to be out here on the trail. My legs are tired. My feet are tired. I think I need an ibuprofen. We will be stopping at the road shortly for a break, and I need it badly. But still feeling okay about walking. I'm not dead yet, so here we go. We are approaching Mount Hood. We're in the Mount Hood Wilderness right now. And wrapping up, tomorrow we're going to get to Timberline Lodge. It's our last box that we mailed to ourselves with food inside. So more of the same goodies we've been accustomed to. I have grown so hungry over the past couple days, waking up in the middle of the night, realizing that I need to eat more. My body is tired. And Adele says I've lost weight, so that's also good news. But certainly feel the deficit right now. Timberline, the lodge, I believe, Timberline Lodge, made famous in The Shining. Only the exterior shots. Don't be disappointed when you go there, and it's not the same on the inside. There are no twins. There's no elevator full of blood. But Timberline Lodge has a brunch buffet, so we've been told, as well as showers. So we will smell good. We will have eaten probably more than we should. And it's our last store shopping point before 2 days to Cascade Locks. Cascade Locks, of course, the home of Thunder Island Brewing, where I have confirmed that we will be meeting several of my friends to celebrate my birthday and the end of the trail. So I'm excited about that. Beer. Glorious beer. Can't wait. The forest is... Forest is volatile. It's funny. You go from one side of a ridge to another. This one has very small, short trees and no mushrooms. The other side had big, huge trees, a little more damp, and there were enormous mushrooms erupting out of the ground. But each little biome is unique in its own way. So it's been nice being out here on the trail. We are now, I'm trying to remember, 5 days out of the disastrously cold and wet night, so feeling much better. The weather forecast, as we've been getting closer to civilization, has been accessible. I can turn on the phone and get the signal and find out what's happening. So there was a chance of showers in government camp today, but so far it hasn't rained on us, and it looks like the sun is finally poking through. A glorious campsite, I guess. Glorious campsite on the shores of Timothy Lake last night. We found a spot that had been trashed, but we found a clean place to hang out, and beautiful lake, enormous, full sunlight, first time we'd had full sunlight in days, so got to finally dry out a lot of our clothes, do a little soap wash on some of the stuff that was really bad. That was a really nice place to land. Thinking of trash on the ground does make me, it reminds me that I have seen bits and pieces, flotsam and jetsam, from packages of things, usually packages of performance-typed, like goo or something. And just little tabs sitting on the ground. Saw a few of those in the Warm Springs Reservation. A few odds and ends here as I walk through Mount Hood. And I know anytime you invite people into a place, you're going to have a little bit of trash, a little bit of litter. But it's the same beef that I have with... like performance-based cyclists who think that they can drop their goo package on the ground because, they're important or something. It's kind of ridiculous. I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you're a conscientious person who doesn't litter. But maybe if you're hanging out with friends who do, say something. I don't know. I don't think I have friends who litter. I don't think I am a friend who litters, I hope. Anyways, something to think about. But It is a glorious place to be, these woods. I like them a lot. The sun is shining now brighter than ever. And, we'll find out. Tomorrow we climb 2,000 feet to get to Timberline, so a lot of uphill. Probably more ibuprofen. But one step at a time. Hello, it is Brock. I am in the woods, and I just saw Ramona Falls for the first time. It is a beautiful waterfall. I think it is probably pretty oft visited by many people. So, I guess I could say go see it, because the trail's already well worn. But it is truly beautiful. It's really nice. We are winding down. We were at Timberline Lodge today. Spent a couple hours there, because we had... my goodness, a glorious brunch buffet. So much food. All of it, food that we needed, all of it filling the deficit of our calories. But, did that. Found a little shower that looks like an outhouse, but actually just has a shower inside of it in the parking lot of the ski area. Picked up our last box of food, so now we're carrying, feels like an extra 20 pounds for the last leg of the trip. We had planned for 4 days. Adele had planned for 4 days, thinking that we might go around the other side of the mountain. And, I don't know. It feels good to get it done. So, we're going to get it done in 2 more days. But, goodness me. Perhaps because we had the luxury of sitting around at Timberline for so long. Perhaps because I've been doing this for almost 3 weeks. Coming up on nearly 300 miles of walking. My feet are tired. I am very tired. My legs are tired. My brain, I think, is tired from trying to endure, even with distracting it by listening to podcasts and whatnot. I am very weary. I realized the only thing that keeps me going forward at this point is I know how bad it hurts now, and I know what our schedule is supposed to be like. And if I don't do these miles today, We're going to have to do more of them sometime tomorrow or the day after to make our schedule and meet the folks that we're going to meet and be home. How's it going?
Yeah, I think this is home.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Seems like a good idea.
Kind of a hard place to find one, so I said we're...
Yeah, no, that's luxurious. Yeah. Hope you enjoy it. Hey there. And I know that I don't want to do this tomorrow. I don't want to do any more tomorrow than I have to do. So, just got to get it all done at an even pace. Do these miles today, as beautiful as they are, in this shaded, verdant, moss-colored valley with a beautiful waterfall and an amazing cathedral ceiling wall on the other side of chipped and faulting rock. And I gotta do it now so I don't have to do it tomorrow. We're doing about 18-mile days from Timberline over the course of 3 days until we get to Cascade Locks. Got a couple of people that are going to meet up with us down there and celebrate my birthday, and I may drink every beer they serve. We shall see. Of course, I'll be responsible. I'm having somebody else drive me. But, that's happening. The only other thing of note that I can remember for this trail report is that yesterday it was a little chilly all day. We crossed both Highway 26 and Highway 35, so Wapanedia Pass and Barlow Pass. When we got to the campsite, it wasn't clear whether it was going to rain or not. So we put on the fly, we had our rain jackets on, all that stuff, and it wasn't so much wet, although there were a couple of sprinkles, but it was very cold. And last night, never had this problem on this trip, or maybe on any other, but it was so cold up there that last night my ground pad would not keep my body heat from entering the ground. The ground was cold, very, very cold. So it was a little shivery, and it wasn't as bad as that rain-soaked night that we spent up on the slopes of Mount Jefferson, because that was bad. That was cold. That was uncomfortable in nearly every way. But it was tricky. I put on my thermals and kind of quaked inside my bag for a little bit. I never felt dangerously cold. But I did, in fact, feel uncomfortably cold, and I woke up several times because of it. So, kind of looking at the tent and wondering, when is that sun going to come up? But we are at a lower elevation tonight, and the day has been sunny all day. And I do say the ground is warmer, so I have better hopes for my sleep tonight. But that is my ninth trail report. I will continue on listening to podcasts and ignoring the cries of my feet, not because I don't care about them, because I do, and I want them to work tomorrow and the day after that, and as long as I need them for the rest of my life, but I am going to ignore any cry of pain that is not an absolute emergency. And I know when I get to camp, I will take off my shoes, I will put on my cheap flip-flops, I will allow my feet to radiate the heat that is built up inside of them, and I will take an ibuprofen or two to reduce the topical swelling. So that's coming up. But all told, pretty nice day. And did I mention I showered today? First soap shower in like 2 weeks? Week and a half? Probably not that long, but it feels that long. Anyways, I am clean. All right, next time. Trail update number 10. It's a nice round number. I am walking right now just off the Benson Plateau near Ruckle Creek and Ruckle Ridge on the Pacific Crest Trail, aiming towards Cascade Locks. We are now closing in on under 10 miles to the end of the trip, and it feels good to have accomplished it. Right now, it's been a foggy, kind of cold morning, damp morning, not raining. Just a lot of fog, and I don't think it's going to lift off of here for another couple hours, so I'm wearing nearly all of my layers aside from my rain jacket and pants. But yesterday we plotted a course from, where did we start? Barely matters where we started. We ended up at Wadham Lake, and we got to Wadham Lake, I believe it was 21 and a half miles from our starting point. Our longest day to date. But that's what happens when you set a firm end date, and you got to get there one way or the other. So we are now, by hook or by crook, ending up in Cascade Locks on July 15th, just one day shy of 3 weeks from when we started the trip. So 20 days of fun, some in the sun, some not. I feel different than I did when I started. I feel more accomplished. Adele and I were talking about, do I feel like I'm still the equivalent of a beginning bicycle tourist on a 10-speed with a milk crate at the end of this trip? And no, I think I've had plenty of time in the backcountry. I think I know my way around backcountrying in the wilderness, I know my way around backcountry camping in the wilderness now. So that's good. Tonight, when we get to Cascade Locks, I've got a couple friends coming out from Portland to meet us, celebrate my birthday, get a ride back into town, and oh my goodness, I'm going to drink all the beer at Cascade Locks. Thunder Island Brewing, of course, Dave Lips' fine creation. I'm looking forward to enjoying that. As it always goes, at the end of a journey, end of an adventure, feels strange to be here already, even though it's been, in some ways, a long time since we started. It also just feels like another day on the trail. My feet are only slightly more tired, at least at this point in the morning, than they were when we started, so yeah, it's a funny thing I've noticed at the evenings. That's when my feet feel like they're all tired and hot and swollen and sore, and when I wake up in the morning, they're all stiff and need to be gently massaged into working again. But then a couple miles into the trail, I feel pretty good. So, yeah, the nice thing is tonight, after the beer and after someone ferries us home, I will be sleeping in my own bed on a soft mattress. I won't have to get up in the middle of the night. I won't have to wear a bunch of extra clothing for warmth. I'll be in walls. I will be inside of walls when I sleep. That's weird. But it's cool, and I appreciate it more that way. Well, it feels good. Trail report number 10, out.